Hi, and welcome
to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you for listening in. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, please dial 347-850-1100. Again, if you'd like to call in during the show, you may call 347-850-1100. And today I'm excited that we're talking to Nikki Racine, who is a mom by adoption. Nikki, are you with us? Okay, it appears we might be experiencing some technical difficulties. I am looking to connect with Nikki, and I was pretty sure that she was online with us. She indeed is online, but it appears that we are for some reason not connecting with her. I cannot hear Nikki. I don't think our audience can either. Well, that is unfortunate. We're going to end the episode here, unfortunately. If we can reconnect in a couple of minutes, stay tuned with us, folks. We really want to get this going. I apologize for these difficulties. Let's see what we can do to make this happen.
Can you hear me?
Nikki, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yay. She's with us. I can hear you great.
Wonderful. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Welcome to Adoption Focus.
Thank you very much. I apologize about the technical difficulties. I actually called in 10 minutes ahead just to be sure I was here.
Absolutely. We're still learning the ropes, so I am very thrilled that we're connected, and that's all that matters right now. So, again, thanks for being with us. Let's just go ahead and jump right in, and if you don't mind, share with us your story a little bit, how, you know, adoption, how all this came to be for your family.
Absolutely. So, to backtrack a few years, to be honest, adoption was sort of a word that I had heard when I was growing up. I'm actually from, my husband and I are both from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And we didn't have, you know, a whole lot of experience in adoption growing up. We had a few cousins here and there, but never really understood the whole terminology. And we sort of, it's funny how it's sort of evolved into creating our family. We were very naive in the whole adoption process until after years and years of struggling to have a child of our own. My husband and I were high school sweethearts, and we've been together for many, many years. And at this point in time, we had the normal, the process that happens, either the infertility, you know, going through the infertility process, or, choosing adoption. And adoption for us was something that just opened up a whole new world of opportunity and amazing, amazing things. So we decided to go down the adoption path, and, our life has just come full circle. Adoption has given us our family. We have two beautiful boys. We have a four-year-old whom we adopted through the domestic program with Adoption Associates. So he's actually from the United States, and he's actually from 45 minutes away from our home right now. So, and then our second child, we adopted through the international program with Adoption Associates through the Ethiopia program. So we brought him home a little over a year ago. from Ethiopia. So we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
You are a busy lady.
I am. But there's nothing like it. I wanted to be a mother my entire life. So, you know, the joy that they bring to us is just, it's immeasurable.
And you mentioned your first adoption was domestically, and your son, share with us his cultural background.
Yes. So actually both of our sons are black. Our first son, Amari, he's African-American, 100%. And so this was a new thing for us. My husband and I are both Caucasian, and we're from the Upper Peninsula. You know, we maybe had 2 or 3 families who were, you know, who were diverse in our area growing up. And fortunately for myself, I went down to college at Central Michigan.
Okay.
And so I, that created diversity in my life. I was so fortunate enough to extend my, you know, my network of friends, at that point in my life. And I have since delved into, if you look around our whole circle, we have millions of a diverse friends. We have interracial couples. We have, you know, African American couples who we have in our circle. And I just feel like transracial adoption for us was something that we were open to, and we have embraced. And so we waited a very short time for Amari to come home. We were very blessed with that. Oftentimes what happens in the adoption process is that you fill out the paperwork, you know, you update your profile, you put a profile into Adoption Associates, and it's sort of like a resume of sorts, and you want the birth parents or the birth mother especially to see, you know, who you are and on a couple pages of paper. And it's difficult to do that, but oftentimes birth mothers, they see something in either your smile or your background that they choose you. And we were blessed to be chosen within 4 months of our application with our son Amari.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I know. So we had him home within 6 months of the process, and he has been a joy ever since.
And so your motivation to pursue adoption again a second time came from what place?
The love that we had for our son. I'm an attorney by trade, so I went to school to become a lawyer. I always wanted to be a lawyer. And my husband's an ER physician. And so, you know, we pursued our careers, but we always knew we wanted to be parents. And once we had our Amari home, we knew there was so much more love there for others. And Amari needed a sibling. And so we decided to do something different this time, and we went down the international path. Being that we were not going to have a child biologically of our own, we wanted to stay with African descent. And so we decided to do Ethiopia, which was the only African program offered at that time for Adoption Associates. And so I actually had the privilege of going on a mission trip to Ethiopia, and I fell in love with the country and the culture and the people. And we started to pursue our next child through the Ethiopian program. And that was a story of perseverance, I must say. It was a lot more detailed and a lot more involved in international adoption, simply because you're dealing with another country. You're dealing with their laws. You're dealing with their requirements. And so when we filled out the paperwork, you know, they require so many things. Background checks and fingerprints and just details of your life that you need to recall, and a paperwork trail that you have to put together. And it's called a dossier, and that's what you put together to send over to that country so that they can review the documents and make sure that you're a legitimate, competent family. And
sure.
I admire that, and I appreciate that, because they want to know that their, you know, their child, the child from their country, is going to a good home. So from start to finish, our international adoption took almost two and a half years from the very beginning to the end. But of course, there was a little bit of international politics going on. So once that cleared, we brought our little boy home in February of last year, and he is amazing. He keeps us on our toes. We call it his Ethiopian spirit. He has quite a spirit, and he is the exact opposite of our other son. So God has brought us much joy in our boys and quite the diversity. So
it sounds like it. So during that period of time, in addition to the dossier and the paperwork that you mentioned, there is obviously a great deal of preparation and planning that families do in preparation for any adoption. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about your experiences during the preparation and planning period, and how did the agency prepare you for this?
Yes, the agency itself was phenomenal. You know, oftentimes when you're struggling, you know, as a parent who's having their own child biologically, you know, you have 9 months to prepare. You can read books, and you know, this child is in your belly, and it's just a different situation. Where with adoption, you never know what's going to happen, and so our agency was so amazing. They had emotional support. They had classes that we took, you know, and being a transracial family, you know, you have other issues that are going to arise, and being educated and reading books and just meeting other couples who are going through the same situation or have, you know, adopted transracially. That's one olive branch that you need to reach out to. And I cannot stress that enough. I mean, we have created a circle in our life, our, you know, our doctors, our dentists, our friends, our family. They're all diverse. And the adoption agency teaches you how to do that. You know, they give you the tools to understand that's very important in your life and in your child's life. So when preparing for all of when preparing for the transracial adoption, especially, you really have to be aware of the differences. You know, in the olden days, I know it was sort of kind of don't talk about it. Race is not it's an issue. It's not an issue. I don't see color, but in all reality, there is a difference in color. There's a difference in the way society treats folks of color and of diverse ranges. And so I think that by being educated and listening, you know, to other situations and really just asking questions and educating yourself, you really learn about how to deal with the situation.
You're right, and their preparation and planning of families has certainly come a long way in the past years, but we do feel in the adoption community that there's always room for growth, and I'm curious about what your experiences have been related to some of the myths. There's a lot of myths. A lot of people have lots of opinions and misnomers about what transracial adoption is versus the reality of it. In your experience, what are the realities of raising a child of a different race?
You know, the realities are so different than the myths. And again, just as in any parent, when you're raising your children, it's a learning process. And I think that being able to be open to and ask questions and to learn different things, I think that's the key to success. You know, both of our boys are African, and we're Caucasian, as I said before. And we have really, in all reality, we have surrounded ourselves with educating ourselves on their culture. You know, we have an Ethiopian culture and we have an African American culture. We celebrate Black History Month. We, you know, incorporate some foods into our family. We listen to African music. I have an Ethiopian CD that I play, and our little guy Zane, he dances from the beginning to the end. And it's, you know, I feel like they can feel the joy in our celebrating their culture because we always do uplifting things with it. You know, and we have, they also have a diverse group of little friends that they play with. So the reality is, oftentimes I think parents are afraid, or their fear is that they won't be able to give them the life that they deserve, quote unquote, because they're not of their culture or their background. And that's so not true. I mean, we are all human at the end of the day. And as long as we incorporate things that their culture deems as important, then that's important to our life.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you guys have been very intentional in the choices that you make in celebrating their culture and making sure that your network of friends and family are providing appropriate diversity for them as well. What sort of questions, or do you get questions from your boys about their birth families or their birth countries?
So far, our four-year-old has, the one thing that really stuck out with me is that when we brought Zane home from Ethiopia, his favorite thing to say, and I just think it's so sweet, he and Zane are always on the same team, and it's always Mama and Daddy against Zane and Amari, because Zane and Amari have brown skin. And Amari said that, Mama, Zane's on my team because we have brown skin. And I cherish that, and I relish in that, because I love that he sees the difference, because there is a difference. And I want him to celebrate that, because they have beautiful brown skin. You know, and another thing too that we really that parents who are deciding if they're gonna go down the adoption route in the transracial world is, I know hair is a huge issue. And I'm giggling because if you see me, which I know you've seen me before, Jennifer, I have large natural curly hair. And so I have already dealt with, you know, the African quote unquote hair growing up. And so that to me was not an issue, because my boys, you know, I'm able to handle their hair and know what products to put in it and that kind of thing. But that's a fear oftentimes. But there are so many resources and so many online tutorials and YouTube videos and, you know, things that weren't available before in the adoption world. So I want to send the message to future adoptive couples, or even birth mothers out there who are, you know, deciding if they should choose a white couple, you know, to adopt their diverse child. It's something that, please just understand that education is the key. And as long as the parents are willing, the adoptive parents are willing to learn, anybody can do anything.
That's a really good point that you make. What other considerations do you think that a birth mother should take into account if she's thinking about placing her child in a transracial family?
You know, I feel like, you know, I sort of want to reiterate the fact that color in this world is significant. And I to a certain extent, though, the bottom line is love is love. And I want birth mothers to understand that couples who are, especially through adoption associates, who are waiting for a child to come home, they just want a child to love. And oftentimes, you know, society gets wrapped up in the, you know, white, black, Asian, you know, we could go through all of the diversity. It's not even about that. If these parents are willing to love this child like their own, they will learn how to incorporate all of their cultural differences into their life.
That's a really great message, Nikki. Thank you. What I hear from you and from others who are parents by adoption, particularly raising children of different races, is that color does matter, and that talking to children about race and identity is extremely important. I think we've come from a past where there was a belief that it was just creating an issue, and that if we bring these things to the forefront, we're the problem, and we're creating the problem. And in reality, that's not what we've experienced. There are some things that are inevitable that our children will face. And so it sounds like you and your husband have really focused on preparing your boys. Was that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And I think what you said is so true. You know, racism exists. We all know that. But teaching our boys, especially in teaching children of color, that it's not okay. It's not okay to have racism in their life and to confront it if it occurs. You know, I just think we need to be on top of it. And that's our responsibility as parents, especially adopting transracially. We have to be on top of it, and we have to explain to our children that's not acceptable. You know, it's almost to a certain extent, you have to celebrate their differences, because that's what life is about. Life is about diversity, and life is about differences. And if we were all the same, what sort of world would we live in?
Right.
You know, there's something to be said about celebrating all of our differences together. And instead of looking at it as a negative view, let's look at it as a positive view and really embrace the differences and celebrate. You know, we have a beautiful family, and it's a rainbow of colors. And that's what God wanted us to be. And so we need to embrace that fact.
You do have a beautiful family. I can say that from personally seeing your family, my own. It's been a pleasure not only to talk with you today, but to watch you form your family in such a beautiful way. So thank you, a big thank you for today and for sharing your story. For our listeners that are looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may call us at 800-677-2367 or visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. Please join us next week as we talk to an adult adoptee who herself is biracial and was raised in a primarily Caucasian home. So that story, I think, will build upon your story today, Nikki. You've kind of laid the groundwork for us. I'm wondering if there is any other specific things that you felt needed to be added in today.
The only thing I want to say is to our listeners is just understand that, you know, God created us all together to just love our children. And there's nothing, adoption has brought so many things to so many people. So please embrace the transracial world and understand that we are all in it together.
Thank you so much, Nikki. And for now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Looking forward to speaking with you again next week. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.